Welcome on in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the best 3 to 5 to sometimes maybe longer than 7 minute podcast in the nation. That being Front Trip to Stop Car Scoop. Like always, I'm Brian Timothy Dono, alongside my co-host on the opposite side of the country, Mr. Adam in Cheek. Adam, well, it was something. I don't know if it was good or bad, but it was it was something. I'll leave it at that. Let's dive for what it was before we dive into our questions, my friend.
Yeah, it was something, and that's the best description of it. It's you already had plenty of controversy surrounding, you know, whether we need a dirt race, the driver's attitude towards it, the controversy somewhat of racing on an Easter Sunday. Some people criticized that, and then you have everything hitting the fan during the race that could have possibly hit said fan. And I'll give it this. The racing was really entertaining when we really got underway and things kind of settled into a rhythm. And the finish was incredibly exciting, but there's so much more we need to talk about. I have worn my Soundgarden Dune shirt because with all the sand and dust and dirt that was flying around, it felt incredibly appropriate.
My buddy messaged me. He said, that was a great finish, but a meh race. I could not agree more because there were so many things that went wrong. When you start out lap 15, you had Eric Amarola, Cole Custer have mud on their grills, and then you had the Kevin Harvick scenario, disaster with the scenario that NASCAR said he didn't get the free pass when they said he did, and then everything hit the fan with Chase Briscoe and Kyle Busch battling on who was the leader at the stage two. The rains came, then you had Tyler Reddick leading, then the rains came, and then when it was all said and done, it was Reddick versus Briscoe. They both spin out of each other. Kyle Busch sneaks ahead and wins the race. Overall, Adam, what's the biggest issue we have with this race? Do we need a dirt race at all? Do we need to switch it? Just where do you come from after this race?
You know, I'm kind of at the point where I like the idea of a Bristol race. I like where we can see these guys with bigger dirt backgrounds, which weirdly the last couple of years hasn't been as much Bell and Larson as I think we would have expected them to be dominant. But Briscoe and Reddick really put on a clinic in these closing laps and bump aside. You had where it seemed like Briscoe missed his window battling with Kyle Busch, but then he was able to gain on Reddick. He was better in one set of corners. Reddick was better in the other. And that was incredibly entertaining. Is he going to get to him? But I think Kevin Harvick kind of put it the best way in his comments in the Stewart Haas Racing release after he ended up in the garage, where he said, among other things, he was critical of the prep. He said, you know, what's the point? And said, I think it's ridiculous we're doing what we're doing anyway. I kind of agree in the term that you're taking Bristol, a perfectly great track with, it puts on a show every year in one sense or another. You're trucking in these loads of dirt to make it a dirt track, which, yes, it was entertaining tonight on at some points, but that feels like so much work when there's a lot of really good dirt tracks that you could go to outside of that. And again, Bristol is great on its own. Leave that at its two concrete races and find a dirt track that's capable of hosting a NASCAR race, and you can, it has the infrastructure to do so, and go there, because there is potential for having a dirt race a year. I just don't know if Bristol's where we should keep having
it. Adam, I couldn't have said it better. There's two races at Bristol, and there's great dirt tracks in places like Knoxville, Iowa, Eldora, that are perfectly capable of hosting a race worthy of this magnitude, as in the Cup Series. I know it was a wreck fest last year in Knoxville, but they had it was a great showing. I was actually watching it a couple weeks ago, and I didn't realize how green it was in Iowa during, I don't know, what was it, July or something? I mean, it was incredible views there. So I would be perfectly fine moving it to Knoxville or moving it to Eldora and just having two concrete races at Bristol, because Bristol's, I mean, there were so many things that went wrong. And thank God NASCAR had a great finish, because it wasn't good, Adam. And I think we'll talk about the move Briscoe and Reddick did a little bit later, but let's just dive in. We're kind of switching up our questions in the order. Let's just dive into the incident after the end of stage two, Adam. Chase Briscoe wins the stage, he comes into pits, and then the rain falls. Kyle Busch inherits a lead, but according to NASCAR, they still said that Chase Briscoe had the lead. They had to wait out a long time, and our boss, Tom Bowles, tweeted out that he says that NASCAR probably would have held off to 1 or 2 in the morning just so this controversy wouldn't be overshadowing the fact that Chase Briscoe eventually won this race, which ended up being Kyle Busch kind of rotates and kind of goes in full circle there. How big of a controversy is this still, Adam? Because when you have drivers, team members, crew chiefs that no one knows the rules, it's a problem.
Yeah, and one thing I wanted to tack on to my other answer is that racing under the lights of Bristol, I thought was a lot better than it was during the day last year on the dirt. I thought that was a massive, massive improvement. But that said, yeah, this was kind of ridiculous. We probably went 25, 30 plus minutes really without knowing who the leader was, because we saw different things from different people and things are very unclear. I think it would have been very issue solving, if you want to put it that way, for NASCAR to go right at the outset, you know, maybe 10 minutes into the delay. Okay, we see people wondering who's where on the track. The field's frozen after the stage. Chase Briscoe has the lead if it ends as such right now. If we go back green, it cycles around because he pitted and Kyle Busch becomes the leader. But no one was clear on that. We really had no idea what the right running order was. And again, it would have been great to do that because things are different at the dirt race. You know, it's technically a red flag. Everything's frozen after the stage. But instead, we get this confusing debacle that, like you were saying, I think they would have waited quite some, and like our boss Tom Bowles said, that they would have waited quite some time before officially calling it to avoid having the race decided by such a weird 45 minutes.
And I mean, when it was all said and done, there was controversy, but it was the kind of controversy NASCAR likes because it was on the track. And Chase Briscoe was hunting down his prey in Tyler Reddick lap by lap. And you know what? He did what every dirt racer at every dirt race tried to do. He tried to get there at the slide job. Almost came within perfection. However, he collected himself with Tyler Reddick. They both spin turn four. Reddick almost comes back and wins it, but Kyle Busch sneaks away and steals a win, as he kind of like to say, he kind of backed his way into one, Alex Bowman, a couple weeks back. However, with that being said, fair, foul, where do you stand on this Chase Briscoe's move?
Well, the Kyle Busch deal is very evocative of the Fontana deal in 2013. Denny Hamlin and Joey Logano wreck each other, and Busch goes on to win. And Reddick kind of reminded me of Kyle Busch at Fontana 3 years later in the Xfinity race, where he blows a tire on with like one to go, and he damn near made it around before Austin Dillon was able to pass him for the win. But I have no issue with it. That's racing. I think, you know, maybe it could have been a little executed a little bit better. But like you said, it was a near perfect slide job. I could see a scenario where that goes slightly better and the two are literally basically locked door to door coming to the line, maybe against the wall. But I think Reddick's reaction says, though, Reddick was an absolute class act. I have no doubt he's disappointed. But he said he would have, our former colleague Dustin Albino tweeted, he would have done the same thing if he was in Briscoe's position. And I think really anyone would have at that point, because last ditch, last corner, you're going for your second career win against the guy who's going for his first career win. It's going to come down to that regardless. And you know what? It's a racing deal. I'm going to call it that. Two drivers' reaction. That was such a cool moment on pit road. Racing deal. That's where I'm landing.
I loved it. I mean, it's two guys going for the win. What do you want Briscoe to do? Settle for second? I mean, come on. Yeah. But smart. No driver's going to say, oh, second's fine. I mean,
he didn't come back from, what, like 3 seconds down and 10 laps to just settle for second. So
I know. That's just stupid. I mean, you race to win. You don't race for second. You don't race for 10th. You race to win. I mean, come on, people. Final thoughts, Adam. Dirt racing, future up in the arms for this dirt Bristol race. Just final thoughts on apparently the 6 hours of Bristol dirt. Apparently that's what it felt like. Because my
turning into an IMSA race. Yeah, and endurance is it took on a new definition, whether it's for the drivers, for the crews there, or from watching it on my couch, hoping that we get some clarification. But I think my thoughts are summed up in Briscoe's move is a racing deal. It was the finish was wildly entertaining and a great way to end an otherwise okay race. I'm not going to say it was bad. It was definitely better than Martinsville last week. And it was definitely better under the lights on dirt at Bristol than it was at Bristol Dirt during the day last year. Some stuff could have been handled better, like the scoring during the red flag. But overall, I enjoyed what I saw for the most part once things really got settled in and going. And we had a very entertaining finish to boot. I can't ask for much more out of what we saw tonight.
Great finish. Overall, yeah. Right. Not the best, but definitely not the worst. I've seen much worse, and that started last week in Martinsville. So, with that being said, Adam, for all the latest, you can find our Bristol Dirt coverage at frontstretch.com, and Adam's got a sidebar coming up on Chase Briscoe Calvary, so check that out. I know I'll be reading that during my lunch break tomorrow at work, so keep all the tabs open to at least, or at least one tab on your MacBook or HP device, or any device that you use to access frontstretch.com, at frontstretch, at Adam and Cheek, and the Brian Owen. Adam, we are heading to my favorite racetrack next week. I am super excited. Unfortunately, no practice, but qualifying and both races of the Xfinity Series and the NASCAR Cup Series. Adam, we're going to Talladega, baby. I love it. It's my favorite track.
Man, Talladega is always so much fun. Last year's spring race was a lot calmer than I expected it to be, but with the next-gen cars, we have no idea what we're going to see, and I'm very excited to head down, not personally, but for the series to head down to Alabama and take to the Super Speedway. That's always such a daunting but exciting weekend.
It should be fun, Adam. We will preview everything regarding Talladega on Thursday, but for Adam, I am Brian Owen, and for everybody at Front Stretch, thank you so much for joining us. We'll talk with you Thursday.